There's a new executive director for the Windham Area Interfaith Ministry. It's Dwayne David Paul. He joins me this morning to talk about all the things that WAIM is involved with, including next month's Walk for Warmth. Dwayne, welcome to the WAIM show here on WILI. Give a little background. Tell the folks about what you did before you became the executive director of the Windham Area Interfaith Ministry.
Good morning, Wayne, and good morning to all your listeners. Thank you so much for having me. Immediately before coming to WAIM, I taught in the Catholic Studies program at Sacred Heart University in Bridgeport, and as well as did some freelance writing for outlets like the National Catholic Reporter and America Magazine, faith-based and sort of faith and politics and public policy kind of writing.
Well, Dwayne, I was living in the Bridgeport area back in the 60s before I came up here, A, to UConn, and then B, to work at this radio station starting in 1970. So the radio station was and UConn were my magnets to come here to Eastern Connecticut. Why did you come to Eastern Connecticut from the Bridgeport area?
Well, so I was living in Hartford, and I still do, and I think the most important draw for me for coming to WAIM was that it started as a collection of communities of faith, you know, meeting the spiritual needs of the community, but they recognize that people also have material needs, right? It's really hard to do the sort of deep pondering about meaning and spirituality and your place in the universe on an empty stomach and in tattered clothes. And I was just really pumped to be a part of an organization that has a religious perspective, but is really grounded in the material lives of everyday people.
Give the overview of what WAIM is all about. The way I see it is you can do more as a group than you can with people or organizations working independently.
Yeah, I think that is exactly it. You know, we, you know, with that sort of that background, right, I think the founders of WAIM, many of whom are still around and their institutions are still contributing to the life of the organization, recognize that, yeah, we have, you know, like I said, the spiritual needs that their congregations met, and people have material needs that they organize to meet. But we also have sort of social and political needs to contribute to the common good of our communities together, right, to work collaboratively to shape our communities for the better. And so WAIM as an organization, you know, we do those two latter things, right? If you're in need, if you need clothes, you need household goods, sometimes if you need direct cash assistance because you're facing a minor emergency, we've got that. If you need a place to plug in for your civic engagement, for your volunteering, for your advocacy, for your philanthropy, we've got a place for you too. You know, if you're, I think in these times when people feel incredibly divided, when there is, you know, tremendous distrust, any organization that provides a positive outlet for coming together and impacting people's lives in a positive way is welcome and necessary.
Where does the WAIM funding come from?
You know, the largest bit is through the generosity of everyday people contributing, but we also have some grants from you know, small like family foundations as well as community foundations. But it is principally through donations from our congregations, individual donors, as well as, like I said, families and some foundations.
And I think the Walk for Warmth might be your biggest fundraiser of the year. We're about a month away from that. For those that don't know, tell them what the Walk for Warmth is.
Yeah, so the Walk for Warmth is coming up. It is every year, as you know, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So this year, Sunday, November 23rd, this year starting at St. Joseph's Church here in Willimantic. The Walk for Warmth is our flagship fundraiser for our housing and utilities assistance programs. And so those programs fund, help people out experiencing minor emergencies, you know, with the idea that it's those minor, for many people, right, for many everyday working class people, it's those minor emergencies that have the potential to snowball into something much larger with potentially catastrophic effects for, you know, the life of families, the like life outcomes of children. And so if we can be a stabilizing force in those moments, that's what we try to do.
So how exactly does the Walk for Warmth raise money for WAME?
Sure. People take pledges, and you know, people make individual donations, and you can sign up. You know, if you go to our website, wamect.org, or just Google Walk for Warmth 2025, you can start your own team. My team is WAME's World Party Time Excellent. For all my like Gen X and millennial cornballs.
How big a group is that going to be?
You know, I'm hoping that we'll be at least 10 solid, but right now it's a team of one.
Well, you got 4 weeks.
Yeah, we got 4 weeks. But yeah, you can register individually. You can register as a team, and you set a fundraising goal for your team. And yeah, you take pledges. And so again, it's, you know, it's individual people acting as ambassadors for the program and hitting up their congregations, their you know, their communities to say like, hey, let's support WAME, let's support our neighbors, right? Because all the money that is raised from the Walk for Warmth goes directly into people's pockets when they need it, when they apply.
And does it go on rain or shine?
The Walk for Warmth?
Yeah. Well, what's going on if it's raining or snowing outside? Do you have it anyway, or do you postpone it?
So I believe, you know, in the past we've had, you know, like, sort of rescheduling in case of, snow. But
not easy to walk in snow.
It's not the trudge for warmth, but, you know, we'll do our best. We're a faith-based organization, so we'll be praying for good weather.
And what is the route? How far do people walk, or is it a multiple choice answer?
It's a multiple choice answer. The sort of most common route would be a 2 mile walk around the city, but there's also a 1 mile walk, as well as a virtual walk as well. If you know, if you can't, for whatever reason, if you're not available to be physically present with us in that moment, you know, you can sort of do your own thing, but I hope you do come together, come out with us.
How does the virtual thing work? Are you watching people walk, or are you walking around the living room?
You know, you're walking wherever you happen to be, and it's the same idea. It's like if you can't be there physically, you're there in spirit, and you're participating in the activity, and you're contributing to the cause, you know, and honor system. We won't be tracking your steps.
Well, it's a fun event. It's a big event, and it comes up the Sunday before Thanksgiving, as we talk this morning with Dwayne David Paul, the new executive director of the Windham Area Interfaith Ministry. You talked about donations. You talked about the Walk for Warmth and some of the money you get to support the programs of WAME. What about other physical donations? Do people give things like furniture or other things that can help other people who are in need of that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah. So as a part of WAME's programming, we also have a shop where, you know, members of the community who are in, you know, we serve Windham and parts of Tallinn counties, about a little over a dozen cities and towns in the area. And so people can donate from all over Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., you know, clothes that's in good shape and clean, furniture, household goods like pots and pans, towels, you know, that are lightly or unused. The members of in our area of service can come by and shop for free on Tuesday, Thursdays, and Fridays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m.
If I'm going to donate my clothes or my pots and pans, do I need to make an appointment? How do you know I'm coming down, or you just show up?
You can show up. You know, if you got something big, definitely make an appointment, or if there's, you know, but, you know, our entrance at Riverside Drive, people just pull up. You know, we have our docks open during those business hours, and someone will be there to greet you and thank you for your donation.
I want to clarify something that we had said on the air yesterday, that rental assistance applications were being shut down. Technically, that's correct, but you clarified that with me yesterday, and tell what the situation is as far as applying for rental assistance.
Yeah, so all of our programs are up and running. Each month, we set a budget for our programs, and you know, once that monthly budget has been spent, we close and reopen at the first of the month again. And so the programs are up and running. Folks can reapply again on November 1st. We certainly, you know, all of our programs have unfortunately been necessary for 41 years. You know, no time more so than now, but fortunately, you know, we're able to step up and be there for our community members, especially things going on right now with the government shutdown and the risk of benefits to people.
That's where I wanted to go next, that with the SNAP benefits starting to dry up, not just statewide, but nationally as well. How does that impact WAME? Do you get demands that you hadn't gotten before when people lose their SNAP benefits?
So, you know, I think we're gonna see that. No doubt we're going to see some of that, like, a rise in demand. You know, I think we really can't underestimate how fragile the stability that working class Americans enjoy. You know, it is, most of us are just doing the very best that we can just to keep it together. You know, most Americans cannot afford a $500 emergency, for instance. And so we are absolutely going to see that, you know, chaos in Washington aside, you know, 40%, the Connecticut United Ways released their ALICE report, which measures, among other things, the number of residents who cannot afford to live in their respective counties. And a full 40% of Connecticut's households, that is 580,520 households, don't earn enough to make ends meet in their counties. If you add on top of that, then political dysfunction, right, and cutting of benefits, you know, you see how, like, people are, you know, at the end of the ropes, and we're certainly going to see, you know, I know that unfortunately we're certainly going to see an uptick in demand for our services, and so it's really important within that context that. You know, programs like ours exist, as well as, you know, political action from our leaders.
Grocery prices have gone up significantly in 2025. And while I don't think WAME does anything as far as providing grocery services, the way I see it is that means people are paying more for groceries now, and maybe they've got less to pay for other things. And some of those other things WAME can help out with in certain situations.
For sure, right? I mean, you know, we live... You know, I think in really simplistic terms. You know, I think about, and, you know, I'm not a small guy, so I think about pie, the economic pie, right? And for nearly half, so 48% of renters in Connecticut, for instance, they lose 30% of their income pie or more at the first of the month every month, because 48% of us are housing cost burdened, right? You know, as you said, grocery prices incredibly high right now. You know, pay hasn't kept up with the cost of living, and that's just true across the country, and it's true here. And so we exist again, you know, to sort of mine that gap, right? To help people mine that gap, to fill in those gaps, and help people make fewer dire kitchen table decisions. You know, and many of us are. I think when we think about programs like SNAP, or when we think about assistance programs, private ones like the ones that WAME runs, you know, I think the image of the person who receives aid is like out of a Dickens novel, right? Or in the worst situation. And we certainly see that, right? We see some really tragic situations. But the median gift last year, the median grant that we offered last year for our utilities assistance program that the Walk for Warmth is going to be funding, was about $400, right? And so what does that tell us? Thank you for asking, Wayne. It tells us that it's these little things, right? It's these little moments, these little gaps in people's pay and people's resources that can become really major stumbling blocks. And that's what we're there to prevent.
When people apply for some of the benefits and services that WAME offers, What kind of a background check and financial analysis does WAIM do?
Sure. So our sort of two biggest standards is a geographic one. So we ask for, you know, proof of address because we, our services and our mandate is geographically bounded. And then, you know, the economic standard is basically at that Alice level, which, you know, we think is a more, you know, accurate perception of like who's struggling, right? Like the federal poverty line, I think is a measure of destitution. You know, it's like, but if you're a family of four earning $48,000, let's say, it's, you know, it's a little more generous than that, you're struggling. You know, like you need a hand. And if an emergency hits, you really do, right? And so we use the Alice line as, you know, as our marker, as well as our geography.
And lastly, Dwayne, as you take over as the new executive director for the Wyndham Area Interfaith Ministry, do you have visions for the future of what you would like to do, maybe as far as adding services, if possible, to what WAIM already provides?
You know, I think I've been here for all of 5 weeks, and I am, you know, I have just a skosh of self-awareness. And so right now, I just want to carry on the programs that I've inherited from my predecessors.
Which are darn good.
Which are darn good. And not break anything. And I want to focus on building relationships with the members of our community, both the people who we serve and the people, you know, with whom we serve. And a thing that I find most compelling and super charming is that many of the people who volunteer at WAIM either currently or in the past benefited from WAIM services. And they see the need and the benefit of contributing. I met a young man in my second or third week, who had just moved to Willimantic and registered at WAIM and, you know, got some like basic clothes. He came in the week after to get a bicycle from our bicycle program, which has given out well over 150 bikes this year, because he had just secured a job but didn't have a reliable mode of transportation. 23, 24 years old, and on his way out, you know, he got his bike, he got his helmet, he got his lock. You know, he's pumped that he's got his job, and he says, "Yo, how do I volunteer? You know, I want to do when things improve and I secure, you know, I get the job that I really want. I want to be involved in what's it called, philanthropy." And I was stunned, first of all, because at 23, I had no idea that the word philanthropy existed, much less any ambitions to donate of, you know, any treasure that I would secure. But that, like, he was there, you know, he had a real concrete improvement to his life, to his material conditions, and he immediately wanted to pay it forward. And I think, like, that is what I want to learn more about before I change a thing.
Well, we wish you the best, and we hope that the Wyndham Area Interfaith Ministry continues to serve our community as they've done such a good job of so far, and people can help out WAIM's mission by taking part in the Walk for Warmth coming up on Sunday, November 23rd, 12:30 until 4:30. It begins at St. Joseph's Church in Willimantic. You can get more information at waimct.org. Dwayne, a pleasure to meet you. Welcome to town. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Wayne.
It's Dwayne David Paul, the new executive director of the Wyndham Area Interfaith Ministry. So I guess you can say you're waking up with Dwayne on 14 WILI Willimantic and 95.3 FM.